know of a father once who came home and his children had been particularly bad that day. No father can not understand that. There are just some days that you walk in and you look and you can see upon your wife's face that it was a bad day. That the children are going nuts in the house, nothing has been accomplished, and chaos is reigning. And this particular father, as he looked over and as he heard the stories of what had happened that day, called the children together and said, "Every one of you deserves a butt whipping. You deserve a spanking of immense proportions today. You've disrespected your mother. You've not obeyed. You've violated every house rule that we have has been broken today." Proceeded to line them up. Got the belt out. And then he handed the belt to his oldest child as he bent over and said, "Now spank me for what you've done wrong." As every child the belt was handed to, right? The punishment had to be administered. But the father chose to take the punishment that day in place of the children. Now, as I heard this story, as I was talking with this child, years later, they recounted this to me, saying, it was that I don't even remember what everything I had done wrong, but I remember that day that my father taught me the gospel. That he taught me the gospel, that Jesus took the punishment for everything that I had done wrong. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It takes wisdom sometimes. It takes insight. It takes creativity. It takes a whole different way of looking at life sometimes in order to bring the training and instruction of the Lord to the children that God has granted us. Now, certainly, that style of parenting might not be the wisest style of parenting for every offense that your child has throughout life. But for whatever reason, God gifted that dad that day with wisdom to be able to communicate something that those children needed to hear on that particular day. See, Paul tells us that it is our responsibility as parents to make sure that our children understand the Lord and the work that He's about and the things that He's doing in our life, in our world, and in their life, the things that He wants to do in their life and in their world. Ephesians 6:4 uses this phrasing, "Bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord." The word training has a number of different meanings, but two of them may shed some light for us. The first one in Hebrews chapter 12. "No discipline, no training seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Okay? Training has something to do with discipline, instilling order and proper boundaries upon people, correcting when things are out. In 2 Timothy 3:16, a passage that we all know, right? "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for correcting, rebuking, teaching, and training in righteousness, for helping people understand the proper way to go." Right? Training has this double side to it of correcting that which is wrong, as well as teaching that which is right. As in preparing for a race or a fight, you go into training. You exercise, you establish a certain regimen to make sure that a new life gets all the strength that it needs. That you get all the muscles worked that need to be worked so that you can become big and strong. It's like taking a tree and deciding that it's not okay that this tree just grows everywhere, but like the apple tree on the side of my house, right? It took somebody to come in and train, to cut and prune and to tie certain branches off so that it's espaliered perfectly across the side of the house. Train. Sometimes we have to cut. Sometimes we have to tie. Sometimes we let it grow because it's going in the right direction. As fathers, we're called to this kind of training. We're also called to instruct, the scripture says. Now, this word only occurs in two other places in the New Testament. And in both of those places, it's translated as warn. Warn. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written down as warnings, as instructions for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come, right? The history of God's people and the things that happened. Titus 3:10. Warn a divisive person once, right? Instruct them, and then warn them a second time, and after that, have nothing to do with them. Right? To instruct is to warn our children of the things that are going to lead them down long, bad paths, that will take them in a direction that's opposite to the walk with God that we desire for them and the walk with God that He desires for them. When Paul combines these two words together, right, the training and instruction of the Lord, he is in telling parents it is their job to instruct, to command, to ensure that good behavior happens and the bad behavior is checked and corrected. We see that kind of life as the father interacts with his son. We see him modeling a kind of life that the son looks to and says, that's the way I should live. The father's actively teaching and training his son how to live. Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, the son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his father doing, because whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him everything that he does. If the father is actively engaged in this kind of bringing up his son Jesus in a way that he sees everything that's holy and righteous and good and everything that shouldn't be done, and he's living so that his son can copy him, can model his life after him. The father is putting on display for his child what he wants him to be like. When the father wanted to heal somebody, what do we see in the gospel? The son's right there joining with the father in healing. Right? When the father wants to rebuke somebody, what do we see? The son's right there bringing the rebuke. The two of them are working in such close connection that Jesus can say, right, I and my father are one. Because his father is bringing him up in the ways of the Lord. That might be hard for us to imagine, right? We always view, okay, Jesus is God and he's perfect and he's not like me. We somehow forget the humanity, though all of our creeds, all of our confessions, exemplify and talk about how human Jesus was. I think we forget that Jesus actually had to learn things from his father as he grew. Scripture tells us that he grew in wisdom and stature, not just with men, but with God and men. He was growing in the things of God because the Father was taking an active part in teaching him and training and raising him up. The Father is the first Father of which all fathers have to look to and copy life from. So let me ask you, parents, fathers, are you modeling a life for your children? Taking them along, that if they became exactly like you, they would look like Jesus. Would they look like him? Are they learning the word of God from you? Are they learning to pray from you? Are they learning what it means to serve the needy from you? Are they learning what it is to be generous? Extremely generous, overly generous. How about forgiving or patient or expressing love or joy, having peace? Are they learning these things from you as parents? Have you shown your children how to give until it hurts? How to give until it costs sacrifice? That something has to be foregone in order for this act of giving to be handed out. That's what the Father did for us. The Heavenly Father did all of that for His Son and for us. See, we're called to model such a life because that's the kind of life our Heavenly Father lives on a daily basis for us. We're called to educate our children, to train them up, to teach them all the good things that the Lord has done and is doing in our world. See, so many of us fathers and parents get so worried about teaching our kids the things of the world, don't we? We're concerned, do they know calculus? Are they good at physics? Have they figured out how government works? How to make money? But you know what? God is not going to ask you when you stand before Him, did your kids understand the U.S. Constitution? Not to say that that's not bad, right? That's not a good thing to learn. But God is not going to care whether your kids figured that out from you. The thing He's going to ask is, did your children learn from you, from your hands and from your mouth and from your words, the love and fear of the Lord? That's what God cares about. That's what fathering and parenthood and motherhood is all about. Now, that takes family worship. That takes setting aside time in your life to read the Word as a family, to pray together as a family, to sing the great hymns and the new songs, to sing it all, to praise God. It means taking teachable moments, having times when you sit down and lie down and rise up and go walking on the path, as Deuteronomy says, to teach our children what God is like and what He's doing. It means taking times to share your testimony. Do your children know your testimony of how you came to the Lord? Do they know the great things that God has done, as we sung right from Psalm 78 and the other Psalms, that we'll tell them, we'll declare the things of the Lord to our children and to their children's children? Do your kids understand the places in your life where you were in financial straits and you prayed to God and the provision of the Lord miraculously appeared? Have you told them that? That they might know that when their time comes to be in financial straits, that the place we turn is not to pulling up our bootstraps and working a little harder, though that's good, but the place where we turn is to the Lord and saying, Holy Father, provide for me like you provided for my dad and my mom. See, a few months ago, I was struggling with what wisdom is. Right? What's wisdom? We talk about all wanting it. Right? We're told in James that if we lack it, we can ask for it. But what exactly is it? And as I was struggling to understand this, I came across this passage in 1 Corinthians. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, this is the definition of wisdom: righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It was like a light went on in my world, and I came out to my children at breakfast that morning and said, "Do you know what wisdom is? Let me teach you what God just taught me. Righteousness, holiness, and redemption." You want to know, if you ever struggle, do you want to know, and this is an aside, do you want to know what you should do when you're praying, "I don't know what to do, God, I don't know what the wise thing is here"? Ask a simple question: is it righteous? Is it holy? And does it bring redemption to people? That is the path of wisdom. If that's what God taught me that morning, then I needed to then go teach my children. I don't know what God's taught you, but He's taught you something that you need to go teach your children. And if you remember, we didn't let the kids off the hook and say that when they turn 18 that they don't have a responsibility to obey their parents or honor them anymore, did we? Do you think we can let the parents off the hook and say, hey, when their kids turn 18, they no longer have a responsibility to teach and instruct their children in the ways of the Lord? No. We have a responsibility all the days of our life while we live as their parents to instruct our children and to admonish them and to warn them and to tell them, this is the way of the Lord and that path is dangerous, my child. Don't go there. We have to discipline our children, Scripture says, because God disciplined us. It's part of the very nature of instruction and teaching and training in the Lord is to bring discipline sometimes. Deuteronomy 8 tells us, "Know then in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." Jeremiah says it this way, "I am with you and I will save you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy every nation among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice." See, parenthood sometimes means doing the hard thing and having to inflict the pain upon our children so that they recognize that the pain that would follow is even greater than the pain that's just come upon them. Why? God says it the best, right? The Lord disciplines those he loves. Why do we instruct and teach and train? And one of the aspects of that is bringing discipline because we love our children. Hebrews says it this way, "What child is not disciplined by his father? Only the illegitimate one. And only the one who really isn't a child. Only the one that we don't care for and that we don't love is the one that gets away with stuff." We have to discipline as part of teaching and training and instructing. Now, I want to take a little bit of a step away from the passage itself for a little bit, for the rest of the sermon, actually. Because it will be really hard, fathers and mothers, for your children to understand what you're doing, why you're correcting them, why you're instructing them, why you're teaching them, if they don't understand some basic things about the character of God the Father. We have to understand who the Father is, and our children have to understand who the Father is, so that when we come and bring this kind of teaching, this kind of instruction, this kind of correction, that it makes sense to them in the broader setting of who God is. He's not grandpa, right? He's not the pushover. He's not the one that's just out there that you can get him to do whatever you want. God is, first of all, creator. As our Heavenly Father, he is the creator of everything that's seen and unseen. In order for a child to understand why they need to pay attention to the instruction and the admonition and the discipline that we as parents bring, they need to understand first that God is their creator. That he brought them to life. A lot could be solved in our world. A lot could be solved in our society if we just taught this. God created you. Okay? Romans 1 tells us that all of the sin that comes out, all that list of nasty stuff happens because people refuse to admit that there's a creator, that there's a God who made them. See, our children need to understand that God is our creator, who made us and who formed us. I don't know about you fathers, but I remember the day that my father stood in front of me, and I don't remember what I did, but I remember him telling me, "I made you and I can take you out of the world as fast as I brought you in." Whatever it was, it was a doozy of a thing I had done that day, and there's many of doozy things I've done. But the point was made. Right? The point was made that as a child, I have a proper place, and I had just overstepped the proper bounds of my proper place. My dad let me know in no uncertain terms. Sometimes, we as people need to be reminded of that, both from our earthly fathers and from our heavenly father, that there is a proper place, and we better not overstep that bounds. So we need to teach our children. God is the creator. We also need to teach them that our Heavenly Father is the provider. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and all that God does for them. And then what does he say? "Why do you worry about what you'll eat and what you'll drink? For your Heavenly Father feeds the birds and clothes the lilies of the field. Will he not take care of you?" Are you not much more valuable than that? Jesus appeals to the idea that God is Father. He's provider. We don't have to worry. Where are we going to get what we need? We get it from the gracious hand of God the Father. Our children need to understand that. They need to know that God is Jehovah Jireh. They need to understand that He is the one who takes care of them. He will meet every single need that they have. He'll do it. Incidentally, just for you that like some of these weird Greek word associations, in Ephesians 5:29, where it says, just as Jesus feeds and cares for the church, so the husband should feed and care for his wife. It's the same word. Feed and care for is the same as provide, as take care of, as instruct, as teach. The Father is the provider. He's the instructor. He's the teacher. He's the care for her. We need to make sure our kids know that. It's not us that provides our need in our world. It's not us that works harder and makes sure that everything's taken care of. It is our Father who gives it to us. It's also the same God who creates and provides, and He turns everything for our good. Turns everything for our good. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. As a good father, the Lord makes sure that everything that comes our way produces the kind of life and character of Jesus in our lives. And our kids need to know that about God. Because it's so easy in the midst of hardship and difficulty and suffering to think, what? God doesn't like me. God's forgotten me. God doesn't care what's happening. That's human nature. But the scripture tells us, no, God does love you. And He does care for you. And He is working this so that you become more like His Son. Our kids need to know that. It's like a wise father who recognizes a child who's just failed at something and says, you know what, child? I'm glad you failed. Because it gives you an opportunity to realize that your value doesn't come from what you do, but from who God made you to be. Right? That's wisdom. That's communicating that God is using even this failure to make you more like the image of Christ, looking to Him for value. It's like the wise father who says, hey, suffering is in your life. You're having hardship and pain right now, and you don't like it, and you wonder, how could God make this happen to you? And the wise father comes and says, oh, this is an opportunity for you to find your strength in me in the midst of the pain and the hardship. Paul means all of this when he's talking about fathers. Bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. We need to get these things to our children. We need to communicate to them that God is faithful. He's faithful. One of the best descriptions of faithfulness comes out of Deuteronomy, a book that most people don't even like to read. Just a hard book. But listen to this. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. Here's the definition of faithful. Keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Of those who love Him and keep His commands. That's faithful. A little bit later in the book, it says, He's the rock. His works are perfect and all His ways are just. A faithful God, again, what is that defined as? Who does no wrong, who's upright and just. He's faithful. That's the kind of God He is. He keeps covenant promise. He does exactly what He promises He'll do. See, Ephesians tells us, fathers, don't exasperate your children. One of the fastest ways that we can exasperate our children is by not being faithful, by not being just, by not keeping covenant with them. And I'm guilty. Ask my children, what are the things that bug you about me? That's a dangerous thing to ask, parents. What are the things that bug you about me? What are the things that you see as unjust in our life that exasperate you and drive you nuts. Here's their list. Maybe you can learn from them, fathers, without doing them my way. When you change the rules, it drives me crazy. When you fail to follow through on a promise, and you backpedal and you say, well, that wasn't really a promise, it was just an idea, and it's not convenient right now, so we just can't do that. When you discipline one child and you let the other one get away with it. When you're inconsistent. When you say one thing and then you do something different. Like you say, don't speed. And so we're in the midst of teaching our kids to drive, right? Say, don't speed. And then I sit in the back and I look up and I see that you're speeding. That exasperates me, Dad. Drives me nuts. See, parents, we're called to be faithful. We're called to be faithful like our God is faithful, to model a kind of life that the Lord is modeling for us, so that they see in our life the life of the Father. None of us do that perfect. None of us do it perfect. Thank God we have a Savior, right? Don't let that be an excuse for not trying. We're called to teach them that our Father is loving, that He's compassionate, that He's tender. Again, Psalms tells us that a father has compassion on his children, and so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. He's the Father of all compassion and all comfort, Corinthians tells us. Love and pity are mixed in. Like He looks at us. Compassion is looking at somebody and seeing the desperate situation and entering into it with them. Going through the pain. That's the very definition of the incarnation of God. But He's also tender. He has a soft side. He has an exposed belly that can be pained. See, somehow American culture has described and taught men that the kind of men that we're supposed to be are these hard steel lumps. Nothing could be further from the description of God in Scripture. Our God is tender. He's strong. There's no doubt about it. And He could smite any of us with one little word. But He's tender. He has a soft side. I love this story as I was researching, trying to find a way to illustrate. What does it mean to be tender? Maybe this story will help. This person says that when they were 8 years old, they brought home a cute little dwarf hamster. Why you'd bring a dwarf hamster home, I don't know. Why you'd want a rodent in your house, I don't understand. But they brought home this little cute dwarf hamster. And they didn't think that their father would approve, so what did they do? They hid it in a box underneath their desk. And the next day, when they got home, on top of their desk, they found a 3-story hamster cage with a matching dwarf hamster in it. And a father who said, don't lie to me next time. But who was tender, right? Who something about that little cuddly rodent touched his life and caused him to realize that I can do something to bring life and joy and enjoyment to my child right now. And instead of punishing, I can bring a life. And this parent who's well-aged and their father had already died said, I wish that I could tell my dad how much I loved the tenderness that was on that hard exterior, that I just had to find it sometimes. We need to be tender. People who let our soft side show. We need to be loving. We need to be a people, a set of fathers who express our love for our children. Father did that for his son, didn't he? declared it overtly. This is my son whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. If I was to do an informal survey here, I bet you a lot of men long to hear their dad tell them they love them. I would bet that a lot of men long to hear their father say, I am so proud of you, my son. But you know what? As fathers, we need to make sure that our kids don't long to hear that. Because our Heavenly Father doesn't keep it hidden. He displays it overtly for His children to know. So you want to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Make sure that they understand they have a Heavenly Father who provides for them, who creates them, who cares for them, who turns everything to their benefit, who loves them, who's tender, compassionate, but who's not afraid to discipline when it's needed. And you will have put on display for them a mini picture of the gospel. And if you're like me, you read all that, you hear all that, and you say, oh crap, I have failed so miserably. That's why the gospel is so wonderful, isn't it? That every shortfall we have, the Heavenly Father says, you know what, I'll make it up. I'll meet it. I'll surpass it in Jesus, who will pay the price for every violation and every flaw and everything that you missed. He'll pay it all. And He'll welcome you in and He'll empower you to live a holy new life. So don't be afraid to admit that you're not living up to that. None of us can live up to that. But we have a Savior who can live in us and empower us to get closer to that than we would ever get left to ourselves. And for that we rejoice. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. That you are an uncompromising Father who pursues us and loves us and does every bit of that. We wouldn't want it any other way, for it brings us security, it gives us hope, and it lets us know that we can never lose what you promise. Affirm that truth deep in our hearts, we pray, and all God's people said, amen.